interesting just to note that in affirming that Shiva is everything, that includes both truth and untruth, good and bad. And Yoga Swami does that in the song, Truth and Untruth, Two Are You, does that a few times, to, which is, of course, the Hindu view that evil isn't something separate from God, it's just part of the plan. It's also Shiva, good and evil. Shiva's both. Of course, there's no intrinsic evil. But everything that exists is Shiva, even that which is called evil. So in carrying on the spirit of Valentine's Day, I thought we could talk about cultivating devotion, or bhakti, bhakti yoga. Gurudeva gives us a beautiful definition of bhakti yoga. It's the practice of devotional disciplines, worship, prayer, chanting, and singing with the aim of awakening love in the heart and opening oneself to God's grace. So our sense of bhakti, our devotion, can be increased, it can be cultivated. And I was thinking about that and trying to find where the beginning of that was, and realized finally that it's in our understanding of the temple and the deities. We just can't start right off and start talking about worship and prayer and all. It's based upon a philosophical understanding of the three worlds, the deities, the temple, the working together of the three worlds, and the uniqueness of the temple. So sometimes we take all that for granted. But in looking at it, that, of course, is first. And if someone isn't familiar with the practice of devotion as we pursue it, then we have to make sure that those basics are understood and that we understand the uniqueness of the temple, particularly a temple such as Kadavo, which was involved a vision, Gurudeva's vision of Lord Murugan, temples founded where a vision took place, can be more powerful than temples founded and located according to a committee. Though not necessarily. But in this case, we think so. Helps make Kadavo a very unique place, the fact that Lord Murugan came in a vision and, in this case, pointed out where the deity should be put, which happened at that time to be the front steps of the building. And so was a unique and obviously the right place. If you're coming to greet someone, you should go to the front door, right? So we're at our front door, which is Nataraja Temple now. So there's a wonderful story that Gurudeva told, which conveys the spirit of the deities, I think, better than anything. And it's the statement that Lord Murugan and Lord Ganesha are real beings just like us. However, they don't have physical bodies. But they can use mine whenever they want. What else are friends for? So it's so charming. I mean, it shows the closeness. It shows a friendship. It shows a love between the devotee and the deities, the Mahadevas, that if you describe it in another way, you might miss. You might make it more technical, make it more distant. Oh, they're great beings. Okay. I'm a human being. They're great beings. They bless me. Okay. But this story conveys another spirit. It's like there's a real friendship, a real closeness between the deities and the devotee. That's the goal. It doesn't start that way, but that's the goal. We want to become close like good friends, not like a dominant employer and a subservient employee, you know, where relationship is quite distant. We want to become good friends. That's the goal. Well, one of the experiences that also points out this idea of friendship and acquaintance is the experience of being in a place where other deities are being worshipped. It's like I've stayed a number of times at Kailas Ashram over the last few years, and their main deity is Rajaraja Swari. And so you worship an all, and they have some side shrines to other deities, but you don't feel like you really know the deity that well. It's like you're going through the motions, but and you're trying hard, but it's so different when you're worshiping, say, Muruga. They don't have a Muruga shrine there. So then you go to a Muruga temple and you realize, gee, you know, I was worshiping and all, but you know, Muruga, I feel like I really know him, and there's a real closeness there, and the worship works in a different way somehow. So that sense is also part of what we're talking about here, that the goal is for the deities to become real beings, so it makes a difference, you know, who you're worshiping. You're just not worshiping in front of a murti. So one of the, well, probably say the most basic practice that we all take for granted in our bhakti yoga is making an offering. We all do it automatically. You know, we wouldn't come to the temple without making an offering. We may not even think about it anymore. You know, it's just automatic. But it's an important practice. And again, for someone who is not that knowledgeable in the practice, it's good to think about it and what's involved in giving an offering. So the same principle applies as in giving a gift to another person. If you want to get closer to another person, you give them a gift. Makes you feel closer, makes them feel closer. Certain magic in the process. And somehow you open up to one another. That which keeps us apart is lessened, and we feel closer to one another. We become more open to one another through the process of giving and receiving a gift. So the same idea is present in giving an offering to the deity. And it's one of those teachings that Gurudeva brought forth, you know, from the very beginning. You'll find it there if you go back and, you know, read whatever we have in Living with Shiva and elsewhere that was done in 1957, 1959. I remember that reading it, and it said, you know, when you go to the temple, bring a gift, even if it's for it.